Good morning. It is time to get up with the king on his court and starting to look comfortable. Can anything stop the Lakers from running through the West? Meanwhile, his team on the field, his celebrity life on the gram. We'll tell you exactly what message Aaron Rodgers is sending right now. And we are 4 days away from June 1st. Where is Julio going? Will he be the difference in the AFC playoffs this year? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you, starting right now on a Friday back in the Seaport. Delighted you are here. I am Greeny, and look who's ready to go. Oh, Ryan Clark is back and better than ever. Haven't seen that face in far too long. Danny Graz is breaking stories, and Bart Scott absolutely cannot wait to get into all the NFL action on this Football Friday. But we begin with the Lakers and the Suns. First home playoff game at Staples Center for the Lakers since 2013. Remember, it was a bubble last year. Chris Paul, still issues with the shoulder. He played 27 minutes. Lakers, meanwhile, would own the paint. First quarter, I'll look at Anthony Davis throwing it down. He had 10 in the first. This one closed through the first half, under 3 minutes in the half. Take a look, Devin Booker running. Oh, Anthony Davis getting back on D, but hold on. Watch closely as he lands awkwardly. That looked scary, but he stayed in the game. Lakers by 3 at the half. And then the third quarter, they just opened up a can. The lead is now 9. Devin Booker turns it over again. Dennis Schroeder throwing it up. Anthony Davis throwing it down. Lakers up by double digits for the first time all night. Later in the third, the lead is 10. And it's LeBron using the screen. Nobody there. LeBron had 10 in the third. 2 minutes left in the quarter now. It's Davis in the paint. Look at the long-distance sky hook. Davis had 18 in the third. Davis and LeBron combined for 28 points in the third quarter, and they never look back. Fourth quarter, it's a 19-point lead. More from LeBron. He would score 21 plus 9 assists. Anthony Davis, 34. Lakers take game three, 109-95, and in so doing, take control of this series against the Suns. Again, AD and LeBron, 28 in the third, 5 more than the entire Suns team, their most in any quarter as teammates, and that includes the regular season. And so here's the big fella who told us yesterday this is what would happen. Kendrick Perkins told us yesterday on this show the Lakers were going to win. Big Perk, what is your number one takeaway from the Lakers' performance last night?
Well, how dominant they were, Greeny, in the paint, right? Just think about it. The Lakers shot 7 for 28 from three, but they dominated the paint. They had 58 points inside the paint. I call it playing daddy ball. They were abusing the Phoenix Suns, and it started with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. They had it their way. And look, this is why they're the best duo, the most dominant duo in the NBA, because when their shot's not falling, they're going to get to the basket, and no one can stop them, okay? And then let's not even talk about their defense. They were on their heels, and you know what I'm about to say, like a pair of socks last night. You watching Anthony Davis chase down blocks right here, making the extra effort. They load up on boxes and elbows. Caruso with the activity, active hands right here, stripping D Book, had him frustrated all single night. Dennis Schroeder, being the pest that he is. Oh, Andre Drummond's sight. They are the number one defensive team in the league, Greeny, and that's where they hang their hats on. They held the Phoenix Suns to 12 points in the second quarter.
Exactly right. And then they took control of the game, complete control in the third. And so, are they now clearly the team to beat in the entire Western Conference?
Yes. Yes, okay? Yes. And it's not even up for debate, Greeny. You know that. You know that. And I'm tired of keep telling and preaching to people. Only a fool despises wisdom. And you can watch with your eyes and see that the Lakers are the most dominant team in the Western Conference.
Okay, and the other wisdom that you imparted upon us the other day was that the Bucks were going to be the team to come out of the East, and now here they are running rampant through Miami, this team that beat them last year. They dominate games 2 and then 3 last night. So talk about the Milwaukee Bucks and how you see them coming out of the East.
I mean, did you see them last night, Greeny? They look like the male version of the movie Set It Off. Giannis was Queen Latifah. Chris Middleton was Jada Pickett. And I say Drew Holiday was Vivica Fox, okay? Because they were strapping up. And look, pull the brooms out, okay? They work for Luther's Janitorial Service. Call them the Milwaukee Custodians. Look, on the defensive end, they are something to be reckoned with, okay? They held the Miami Heat to under 25 points in every single quarter Big Lopez is down there anchoring the defense, blocking shots, protecting the basket. You got P.J. Tucker putting his body on the line, taking charges. I haven't seen a team lock up this Miami Heat team like this in a long time. And by the way, Greeny, let me remind everybody that this team right here led the NBA in scoring with averaging 120 points a night.
That's exactly right. And they are staring probably at the Nets in round two, so we'll see what happens when we get there. Big Perk, stay close by. We're getting back to you with more. But in the meantime, the fans in Wisconsin, it's good they have Milwaukee playing well. They need some good news because they also have this situation to deal with. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers remaining at an impasse, and no end is currently in sight. The reigning MVP is hanging out right now in Hawaii, living his best life, while his teammates are practicing in Green Bay. Yesterday on this show on Get Up, our Diana Russini joined us in offering some perspective on which party has the leverage in this standoff.
We've been talking all week long, or at least for the last few weeks, that Aaron Rodgers has the leverage. Well, the leverage could be on the side of the Green Bay Packers, because look, either they're going to trade him or he's going to sit out next year. So why not have him sit out all of next year and use that time to do some homework on the future draft picks that they would be trading for? Have conversations with teams that are interested and really work on getting the best value for him.
So there's so many things to unpack here. And Dan Graziano, that yesterday kind of made me look at this a little bit differently. I've thought all along, well, they're just ultimately going to have to trade him. But the point is, if what they're ultimately trading him for is draft capital next year, let's even say that at some point along the line, they decide they're going to need to trade him. They're in no rush. The next year's draft is when next year's draft is. It's the end of April. It doesn't make any difference when they make this trade. So maybe on that level, this thing isn't as tilted in Aaron's favor as I've been thinking it is. Dan Graziano, pick up that thought from there.
No, obviously it's not. And we talked about this early in this process. The Packers can call his bluff. And if he's willing to sit out games, they'll save money on his $14.7 million salary. They can go back and get his $6.8 million roster bonus. They may even be able to go and claw back some of his signing bonus. And this is money and cap space that the Packers, frankly, could use. They are projected way over the cap for next year. They don't have Devontae Adams under contract for next year. If they feel like they could go with Jordan Love or another option, they can tell Aaron Rodgers, fine, you don't want to play for us? You are now retired, and we will move on without you. That is, in fact, the Packers' leverage.
All right, so Ryan Clark, I have not had you for quite some time here, and I'm dying to hear your take on this. There are so many angles of this story right now that feel important to you. What's the most important thing?
The most important thing is that Aaron Rodgers does have the leverage, because for so many years, we've thought of Aaron Rodgers as this great talent, and that's all we talk about, or maybe this very interesting off-the-field personality that's extremely intelligent, but it was never really a leader. It was never really a great teammate, and the wide receivers not showing up to OTAs was a big deal to me, and I know to many people, they think, okay, it's just OTAs, and I absolutely believe that for veterans, it's not as impactful or as helpful as people may want to make it seem. But the one thing you know, if you're a wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers isn't there, if Aaron Rodgers is away telling big little lies, or if it's a divergent situation, or if we are trying to find the faults in our stars, then you understand not showing up to OTAs means, hold on, we're not on the Green Bay Packers side. Hold on, we haven't made it a point to show that we will be at practice, we will be on the grass, no matter who is quarterbacking for the Green Bay Packers. I think right now the leverage is on Aaron Rodgers' side. He understands that, and that is why he is taking pictures in the jungle of fooling around with jungle cats, his fiance, and other actors. Because Aaron Rodgers knows that he's the guy that's winning this one-on-one battle right now, the same way LeBron was whipping Jay Crowder in the game last night.
All right, and so, Bart Scott, let me come to you on that thought. As we see this, again, very conveniently, a very private man, Aaron Rodgers, on the same week that his team is going through OTAs, is suddenly all over social media in a bathing suit. Bart Scott, can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Oh, man, I tell you what, when you get in different relationships, you know, you have different requirements. His boo wanted him to let everybody know that he's living his best life. And Aaron Rodgers looks unbothered. He's unbothered. He's like, I got options. I got money. I got career. I can do whatever I want. And what Aaron Rodgers is doing is flexing his muscle. And listen, Diana doesn't understand, you know, from the player perspective, what he's doing. The fact that the receivers didn't show up is their plea to the organization saying that, hey, we're united with him. Because they understand without him, their numbers aren't great. They understand without him, they have no chance in winning a Super Bowl. So he has all the leverage. And at some point, you have to decide and understand that he's just not into you anymore. And you're going to have to try to get the best compensation you want. He can show up and pull a hammy. He can show up and not be cooperative. You know, understanding that Devontae Adams is not on contract past his future year, he may decide to say, you know what, I'm leaving next year too. And then where are you at as an organization? You don't have any future stars. All this homegrown talent that you had is no longer around. They're not on board, and they're going to be skipping town. And it's all because A'Aaron said, you know what, we out. I'm taking my ball. I'm leaving, and my homies and my boys are coming with me next year or this year. I don't care.
Go ahead, RC.
The one thing we cannot do when speaking of Aaron Rodgers' off-season pictures in his swim trunks is use the phrase flexing his muscle. There was no muscle on that picture.
It was an ab. I saw one ab.
Mm-mm. No, don't you do
so
it.
So one ab.
He was not flexing his muscle. What he was doing
that.
Was
he
was showing
breathing.
You.
He's not breathing
that,
right there.
No, no, sir. Aaron Rodgers was showing us that you don't need to work out. You don't need to hit the gym to be the best player in football. That's what he's showing you. Aaron Rodgers, this was a power move. This was Aaron Rodgers saying, look here, I'm enjoying my life. I'm out here living. And everything that you talk about in Green Bay is about me right now. It's about whether or not I'm going to play golf against Tom Brady, whether or not I'm going to host Jeopardy, or whether or not I'm going to be quarterbacking the team that doesn't have wide receivers to throw to anyway. Jordan Love is in the worst position in football, and that's playing for a team that shouldn't have drafted him and now playing for a team that players don't want to play for.
Graziano, I see the look on your face, and I wonder if it's the same reason I have mine. The difference between being a professional athlete and not, which is to say, I look at that picture of Aaron Rodgers and think, if I was built like that, I wouldn't own a shirt. I wouldn't ever put a shirt on. And RC is looking at it, and he's unimpressed. I don't even know what to tell you. Dan Graziano, what?
That's not what I was thinking about at all. But what I was thinking about listening to Ryan Clark is like, do you really think Alan Lazard on his one-year, $800,000 contract is going to sit out minicamp and training camp like in solidarity with Aaron Rodgers?
At some point, these guys are going to come back. I didn't say that.
So what will happen, RC?
What is the leverage there?
How far do those guys take it? How far do these receivers go with him?
No, listen. This is obviously when receivers get to make these decisions to come to training camp, it's about them individually. I believe they understood the power play that this was, but also Aaron Rodgers understands it. And this is not necessarily let's get on the phone and figure out, you know, how you guys are going to stay home. But think about the power that starting quarterbacks have, the Drew Breeses of the world, the Tom Brady's. They can call dudes in the offseason on off weeks when they're not supposed to be at OTAs, not supposed to be practicing, and make them fly across the country to do involuntary workouts at a quarterback's home. And so for these guys to say that I'm not going to OTAs to practice with Jordan Love, I'm not going to let you see what this kid has when he has good wide receivers on the field, that's a big deal to me. And no, Alan Lazard's not going to stay home when the season starts, but staying home now makes the Green Bay Packers start to ponder decision of whether or not Aaron Rodgers should be on this roster at the beginning of the season.
All right, hold that thought. I made us late there. That's my fault. Let me take a quick break on this. We will have much more on this, I promise. There's a lot more to be said. As we continue, we will also talk about this. The Jaguars have a new 1-2 punch, and it is either genius or the biggest mistake of the entire year. We will get to the bottom of that as we continue, and we'll see if Graziano can get to the bottom of this a little early. Sneaky Hembo, who is the only coach to beat Urban Meyer more than twice? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we're back, and here we go. Hembo versus Graziano. Urban Meyer in the news. Dan, who's the only coach to beat Urban more than twice?
Hembo always goes to college when he thinks he needs a win. So this is I can't be anybody he played against at Utah or anything like that. I think it's got to be somebody who was good in the SEC when Urban was there. Was Les Miles winning national championships at LSU at that point? Is Les Miles the answer?
Oh, my God, he got it right. I cannot believe he got that right. Les Miles is correct. Nick Saban beat him twice. Dabo Sweeney beat him twice. Miles beat
Saban
him three
been
times.
Too obvious,
look
right?
at the smile on the face of LSU's own Ryan Clark. Oh, and Graziano was up a field goal on Hembo, who was absolutely certain he was going to get a win. That is a great performance.
He wanted
by
me
Dan
to get
Graziano. Oh, that's so good. So good. All right, here's why we were doing that. We're talking about Urban Meyer's team. And we're talking about his old quarterback, Tim Tebow, who is a Jacksonville Jaguar. The former quarterback turned outfielder is practicing as a tight end. Yesterday, Urban Meyer talked about his impressions of Tebow so far and his prospects for making the team.
Oh, I wouldn't say weird. It's, you know, awkward maybe the first practice, but it's 1-90 trying to make the team. And I think it's one step at a time and see what happens. Before you start having those conversations, you got to feel where he's at in the depth chart, et cetera. Obviously, it's only been a couple of days, so we have not had that conversation as an offensive staff.
1-90 is obviously the operative word there. And Bart Scott, I'll come to you first on this one. Is there any way Tim Tebow can just be 1-90, considering everything?
Look, we're talking about Tim Tebow. We're talking about his popcorn muscles. Look like Tim Tebow's been chucking up on the whey protein. Who cares? That has nothing to do with the ability to block somebody. Are we worried about him blocking some of the elite defensive ends in the game? What it's going to do is make him need some hamburger, some hamstring helper when he runs his out route when he popped that hammy off the bone by trying to go 0-100. Listen, this is crazy. Listen, but I know Tebow. He's like a good like tapeworm, man. He just feeding and festering off all the scraps that you give him, and eventually he's going to take over. And Lawrence better be careful because he's trying to become Taysom Hill. He's trying to become somebody that's going to come in there and find a way to touch the football because there's no way in hell, Greeny, that he can help this football team as a tight end. If he really wanted to help this team and he was about to smoke, he would be an H-back and he'll be flattening his flat top inside the middle of the hole, but he ain't about that life.
So RC, let me come to you on that. Diana brought it up. She said that she heard from some people around the league yesterday that forget about this tight end stuff, that's the vision of this, is a Taysom Hill-like role. RC, what do you think of that?
That's a worse idea than Tim Tebow actually playing tight end. I think it's... And you just heard what Bart Scott just said. Listen, I have my feelings about Taysom Hill, the quarterback. But Taysom Hill, the athlete, is a dude. He's taller, he's faster, he's more explosive. He gives you bigger opportunities to make plays. You don't want a gadget guy to be a can't-have-it guy. And that's what Tim Tebow was. Even Tim Tebow, when he won the Heisman, right? When he became this dude that ended up leading in rushing touchdowns or in touchdowns when he left the SEC, he was a fullback. It was 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1. It wasn't these huge plays that you get when you bring in someone who's spectacular at a different position. The reason you bring Taysom Hill in is because if you get a crease, you can get 20, you can get 30, or you can draw someone to the quarterback, he can pitch it to Alvin Kamara. Tim Tebow is not that. I played against the New York Jets in the second game of 2011. And in playing in that game, or 2012, whatever it was, and in playing in that game, Tim Tebow was the backup quarterback to Mark Sanchez. And they would bring him in and they would run zone read and try to run these trick plays. And everything happened so slow. Tim Tebow needs 60 plays to give you something. Not one, not two, not three. So him playing a Taysom Hill role is not a thing because he is not Taysom Hill.
So I think that is, generally speaking, the opinion I've heard from everyone. So Dan Graziano, I come to you. And Urban Meyer is a guy who coached 7 years in the Big Ten and lost five games. So his success on the college level speaks for itself. But are you hearing from people you talk to around the league with these curious decisions getting made, are you hearing skepticism about his ability to transition that to the NFL?
Yeah, but you always hear that when a college coach comes into the NFL, no matter how successful he's been. I mean, we've seen high-level guys like, I mean, Nick Saban and Steve Spurrier and Chip Kelly try and not succeed. So the NFL, look, the NFL community is very sure of itself in terms of it's being the knowing the right way to do things. And if a college coach comes in and he's trying to do things differently, there's always going to be skepticism. There are people that are waiting to see him fail. So Urban Meyer is definitely confronting that as he transitions to this phase of his career. And there are a lot of people that are going to point to moves he makes and go, see, he's the college guy. He's not on our level. That is definitely going on. Whether it turns out to be true or not, that's what's happening.
And Bart, super quickly, I mean, the veterans in that locker room, are they looking at this and are they thinking, what the heck is going on here?
I mean, they're unbothered with the circus that's around them. Listen, they can care less. They understand that all this is going to be sorted out when you put them pads on. Everybody looks good. It can have your thumbs up and keep your hands inside and block when you're hitting a dummy. But when you're hitting a live man across
the room
that's trying to eat, yeah, it's a different story. Well, he had his thumbs up in the picture. He had his thumbs up. So I can tell he's been getting taught.
If I'm a veteran, this does bother me. Because when I'm looking at Urban Meyer, we're talking about him transitioning to be an NFL coach. I think he has the requisite football knowledge to be an NFL caliber coach.
Sure.
You can't run a program like a mom and pop program. You can't go hire Chris Doyle, who shouldn't have a job in football, period, or in the league, because you believe you know him well enough and he's overcome those things. You can't go hire Tim Tebow because he's your friend. We don't get to hire friends in the NFL because it's about winning. And if a coach isn't putting winning first, then a coach isn't the coach for me.
I love the thought. We will pause on that briefly. We have more on this as we continue. Lots of football news today out there, including this. We thought the price was dropping, but now Julio could cost you a first-round pick. Who's going to step up and change their future with that man on the squad? That answer is next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
It is time now on Get Up for Get Your Eyes Checked, brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. Listen to the call of this wild sequence yesterday, Cubs Pirates.
Back toward home plate.
Tag him.
Tag him quickly. And what did Craig do there? They get a run out of that, and now they got to get the out at first. And they throw it in the right field. That's going to get a run for the Cubs. Oh, my, what a loony play, and he's in at second base. What was that? The Cubs are going to get a run, and Baez is safe at second base on a routine ground out to third. Oh, the calliopes can be heard from here to Sewickley.
Now that was the play. It just sort of went viral everywhere. To be clear, there were 2 outs in the inning when Javi Baez hits this ball. So if at any point they just record the force at first, the run doesn't count, including now, even after the run is scored. Just throw the ball to first, get the force. It's been the rule since 1854. Ryan Clark, what the actual heck is going on here?
Hey, I heard my guys. I heard my guy talk about Sewinkley. This was my life for 8 years living in Pittsburgh. If I didn't have Andrew McCutchen and Neil Walker, we would have saw this every inning. This is the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, I mean, I hope we don't show Dan running out of the end zone, but I think that's the only play I can remember where somebody did something even similar to this in NFL football.
I mean, does anyone think it's a coincidence?
Keep your eyes on your luggage.
They don't.
That's cold.
I mean, I don't want to say that was painfully obvious, but RC said that.
But you're a Jets fan, Green.
And less than 1 second later, that video popped up on the screen.
What a coincidence.
It's the magic of TV.
Go ahead, Dan.
You're a Jets fan, Greeny. You can,
yeah.
Yeah, I can remember Steve Weatherford thinking, you know, the football's most fittest man, you know, dropping the football on purpose and running for 17 yards for a first down, but not realizing that it was 4th and 24 and that when he got to the marker, it was the beginning of the marker, not the end, because when you punt a football, you start 7 yards deep. So you got to add the 7 yards to the yardage that you need. Way to go. We only lost to Green Bay the year they won the Super Bowl by 3 points. Thanks, Dan.
It's, what can you say? That play yesterday, literally, we are all now worse at baseball just for having watched it. In the other news, let's get back to the NBA action of last night. Let's run the floor. We had three NBA playoff games last night. Start with this. Home court didn't help Miami as Giannis and the Bucks just destroyed the defending East champs 113-84. Giannis had 17 and 17. They're now up 3 games to none, so they're 1 win away from advancing to round 2. Elsewhere, Nikola Jokic had 36 points, 11 boards. Denver beat Portland on the road, 121-115. Dame Lillard had 37, but not enough. So Denver now up 2-1 in that series. And we opened the show this morning with Game 3 of Suns-Lakers. Lakers coming away with a 109-95 win. LeBron and Anthony Davis combined for 28 in the third quarter, which is when they sort of opened up a lead in that game and thus in that series. They didn't give the lead back last night, and it does not seem to be that they will give the lead up in this series either. Here's Tim Legler, your thoughts. What's your number one takeaway from what we saw from the Lakers, and particularly their two superstars last night?
Well, look, both of those guys were obviously dominant. They're capable of physically overwhelming any team when they play with that kind of force. They were committed to getting quality shots and to using their size, talent, and strength to really just beat any matchup that they had. But for me, Greeny, the biggest difference right now between these two teams is the fact that the Lakers have three different guys, if you include Dennis Schroeder with those two stars, that can win any matchup at any time, and they can go create offense against any defender. The Phoenix Suns, with Chris Paul this limited, and obviously he's limited by this injury, they have one, and that's Devin Booker, and that's just not going to be enough. And it's so stark when you look at Chris Paul, and not just his regular season, when you look at Chris Paul's playoff history, this is a guy, Greeny, that 8 times has averaged 20 points a game in a playoff run. He has 20 points total in this series. This is a guy that on average takes 5 to 6 threes a game for his postseason career. He's taken one in this series. So as a result, the Lakers know they can play him completely differently. And Chris Paul, as great a floor leader as he is, and a guy that can run the show and the brains of the operation and all of those things we love about him, at the end of the day, you have to be a threat to score at that position. And right now, he's just not. And so as a result, it's going to put too much pressure on other guys who are better as role players to step out of their lane and try to create more offense than they're capable of. When you combine it with the way LeBron and Anthony Davis played or were committed to play offensively, it adds up to a pretty rough night and a pretty rough remainder of this series if Chris Paul cannot find a way physically to inject himself into this series as a scorer. I mean, this could be over in 2 more games, and it's a shame because I really think Phoenix, with a healthy Chris Paul, could have given the Lakers all they wanted and made this possibly a 7-game series.
All right, but right now it doesn't feel like it's headed that way. One more thing quickly here. In Milwaukee, with Giannis, they had the best record in the East, back-to-back seasons, and disappointed in the playoffs. Why do they look different this year?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you add a Drew Holiday to the mix. You add a Bobby Portis. Like, those, to me, are the two biggest pieces. Drew Holiday is a guy that comes in, and we know what he can do defensively, but he's also another option for you offensively in close games because of his ability to run a ball screen and make a deep shot if that's what it requires. Chris Middleton, obviously, has been doing what he does for a long time. And I do think it seems like they're more comfortable if they get into those situations that are tight. Chris Middleton is going to be a better option initially even than Giannis because Giannis has some limitations in his game. What's happened in this series, the Miami Heat have allowed the one thing to happen that you can't against the Bucks. You cannot let them get out to a 15-20 point lead because you have taken all of the pressure off of Giannis Antetokounmpo. This is a team you have to at least keep it a one possession game inside of 6 minutes. And let's see if Giannis starts to feel the pressure of answering the bell as an MVP and trying to do things that aren't necessarily in his wheelhouse. And they didn't do that the last couple of games. This thing got away from them and now everybody's loosey-goosey on the Bucks, and you can see some of that talent come to the forefront. There's no doubt it's an elite defensive team, and this is a team, if they handle close games differently than they have in the past, with Holiday and Middleton being the main options offensively, the Bucks can certainly, you know, get to the conference finals potentially. I think they could possibly even beat the Nets, but I don't know yet that I'm convinced. I've seen enough to know they will handle those situations in that way. The Heat haven't put any pressure on them for me to know that, because we're talking about two blowouts in these last two games.
Well, it's Brooklyn they would get in the next round, assuming both of them win. So we'll see if that's the way it winds up going. Timmy Legs, outstanding as always. Thank you, my man. And we've got great action coming tonight. ESPN and ABC, Game 3 is tonight, and they will be outstanding. We have a trio for you starting in Atlanta with the Knicks and the Hawks. That's at 7 Eastern tonight on ESPN. We have the Nets and the Celtics on ABC at 8:30 Eastern, and we cap it with the Clippers and the Mavs at 9:30 Eastern. All the action coming away tonight on ESPN and on ABC. Meanwhile, back to the NFL. Julio Jones, his future landing spot still up in the air as we approach the June 1 salary cap deadline. Jones and the Falcons have made no secret of their intentions, and teams are lining up to trade for the star wide receiver. Diana mentioned it yesterday here on Get Up and then tweeted it as well. The Falcons have discussed several offers, including an offer that has a future first-round draft pick involved. There's a sense around the league a trade could go down as early as next week. June 1st is the day when that feels like it's likeliest to happen. That's next Tuesday. And so, Dan Graziano, let me come to you on that. Is the expectation that Julio will get moved quickly when they can do so starting next week?
Yeah, first of all, if they have a first-round pick on the table and it's from a team that's not asking them to pay any of his salary, that thing should happen as soon as possible and would have happened by now if they didn't have to wait till after June 1st for cap reasons. But they do. And the Atlanta Falcons cap situation is so bad that they currently don't have enough cap room to sign their draft picks. The guys that they just drafted, Kyle Pitts and the rest of that class, they don't have enough room to sign their rookies. So that's why Julio Jones is going to end up getting traded. Look, they could restructure his deal. They could restructure Grady Jarrett's deal. That just pushes the problem down the road. Trading Julio Jones, as painful as it will be for the franchise and its fans, is the only way they have to clear enough room to even get Kyle Pitts and the other rookies under contract right now.
So, Ryan Clark, that's the table being set there. They have to trade him, and it likely happens in the next few days. Give me the place. Give me the team. Where should he be?
Listen, the Atlanta Falcons are doing like my mom used to always tell me. They're going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul. But in paying Paul, they're going to make another team better. And I think that's going to be a team like the Baltimore Ravens. I would love to see him go there. Now, if you're Julio, you want to go somewhere with an elite quarterback. I get it, where you can pass the football and get these numbers. But if you go to Baltimore, you're going to be in one-on-one matchups. They go out, they get Bateman in the draft. Obviously, already had Hollywood Brown. You add other players throughout free agency like Sammy Watkins, and Lamar Jackson is going to give you one-on-one opportunities because you have to have an eight-man box. You have to stop the run. And oh, by the way, if they lean the safety to you, or if they put you in two-man, or if they account two people to cover you, it's a seven-man box and we're running up and down the field all day. I don't know if the Baltimore Ravens can make it happen, but if they can, they need to do everything in their power possible.
Bart, that's your squad, or at least it's one of them. If you put Julio Jones on the Ravens, are they in the Super Bowl this year? Bart Scott.
Ryan, they just took you off the wanted list in Baltimore, man. You okay with us right now, man? I tell you what, that's exactly where he should be. You talk, you can go down and get all the crab cakes you want, man. You good with us right now. But that's absolutely where he should go. Because you think about he fits the mold. He's a physical wide receiver. With him and Sammy Watkins, they might have one pair of good feet because both of them got bad feet. You can't, prepare. You can't really count on either one of them to stay healthy. They're not jailing right now, Ryan. They got bad feet, and that's always a problem. But that allows them to use Hollywood Brown in the slot where it's the natural position for him. You're going to have light boxes, and Julio's accustomed to having a safety lean to him. But when you have that many, good receivers and that good of a running game, it's going to allow you to get some of those off-schedule plays with Lamar Jackson buying time, and it makes Baltimore a Super Bowl contender, and it allows them to press pause on Lamar Jackson as far as his contract extension. Because if you're getting Julio, Lamar's going to shut up and say, you know what, I'm all about winning right now, boss.
So super quickly, RC, I'll come back to you on that. Let's see how many crab cakes you can get now. If the Ravens wind up with Julio Jones, will they wind up in the Super Bowl?
Absolutely. The Ravens play the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship, and I believe they win if they have a healthy Julio Jones.
Wow. A Pittsburgh Steeler just projected the Baltimore Ravens to make it into the
Super
Bowl.
You're all right with us.
Somewhere right now, dogs and cats are playing together and pigs are flying across the horizon. We'll take a very short timeout. Much more to do on this as we continue. Aaron Rodgers living the MVP life. Doesn't care who sees it. That caught RC's attention. RC is going to explain his tweets next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
24 minutes in, and we are proving to be the most immature show.
I'm ready to see where this is going, Greeny.
This whole thing is just a bunch of nonsense.
I'm about to break out some props.
I don't need this.
I got a lot of Bill Murray pictures. That's a little weird.
Come on, man.
Mike Tannenbaum has a football with his own name on it.
I'm good over here.
I didn't know this was show and tell.
Here's my Hulk.
I'm good.
What y'all talking about?
I have skills too. It's not just Marcus.
The Swaggoo.
The NFC East is completely unpredictable.
Who is the best team in that division?
I don't know.
The Giants and the Washington football team are better than the Dallas Cowboys.
You're probably right, Dan Borlasky.
Dan McCluskey. Volusky, final word.
I hate both of you. All three of you.
Chill out, Borlasky.
There's Aaron Rodgers posting all of these incredibly glamorous photos in Hawaii.
He's getting married to a beautiful actress. I'm married to someone average. I don't post a lot about him.
The last thing in the world we want to do is pry couples apart on this program.
I need to really stop killing my husband on television.
We're all about bringing people together. So much fun and so grateful to everybody who's come along for the ride. Bart, what's that look on your face?
Oh, words hurt, man. I don't know how Diana could go back in the house after that, man. She's not getting the red bottle for Christmas. That's for sure.
Graziano, what was the first thing you said
about
the
meeting? Words
today?
Hurt.
I just wanted everybody on the meeting to know that my wife is beautiful, and I'll post a picture of her anytime that anytime I feel like it. I just want to make that clear after watching
yesterday's
show.
That's the kind of show this is. All right, Ryan Clark, let's get to Explain Your Tweets. Usually we play a fancy open, but let's get right to it. Everybody loves following Ryan Clark on Twitter. And every week, he will explain his tweets to us. And here's the first. Bruh, look at Aaron Rodgers. That's the MVP of the National Football League. Ryan Clark, explain your tweet.
Here's why I had to explain it, because I didn't want to expound. I didn't want people to call me a hater. Listen, Krispy Kreme donuts is my favorite donut, and nothing is like when that hot sign is on. Apparently, they are Aaron Rodgers' favorite donut, too. He not only eats them, he's built like one when you smush it up. Aaron Rodgers was the best player on the field last year, but somehow he is built like a saturated cotton swab. And when you see a dude having that fun, not caring about the world, seeing his body, that's how you know he's happy. I'm marrying an actress, I'm the MVP, and because I don't want to go to work, neither do my wide receiver. Look at my picture, world. I'm supposed to be on the grass, but I'm in the jungle hanging out with the jungle cats.
My goodness, you and I could not possibly see things more differently. I see his build very differently than you do, but that's neither here nor there. Okay, next.
He has the build of a host of Jeopardy.
Okay, next. Is anyone in the league a wide out away enough to give that first for this Julio Jones? You get the Julio and you give up way more. But nagging injuries, decade of ball and father time, do it or not? RC, explain that tweet.
Listen, you heard Bart Scott, and Bart kept talking about Julio's feet, or we talking about some of the nagging injuries. If you get the real Julio, if you get healthy Julio, you giving up things like you got to give up for D-Hop, things like you kind of give up for Stephon Diggs. But even a first-round pick scares you, because if he's not healthy, if he can't practice, if he can't perform, you gave up a first-round pick for a mirage, first-round pick for a shadow. But if you get that dude, and all it took was one pick, then you have won. And if you're the Baltimore Ravens, I think you are willing to take that chance.
Yeah, maybe you're Julio away from being a Super Bowl team, as we discussed. All right, one more tweet. This is not good, man. Not good at all. Fell for the banana in the tailpipe. RC, explain that tweet.
Greeny, I'm not a baseball player. I got to about the eighth grade. People started throwing curveballs. I started jumping out of the batter box. I realized there had to be a different sport for me. But what I do know is, if there's a force out, all you gotta do is step on the bag. And if there are two outs and you step on the stinking bag, then the inning is over and the run does not score. That could be heard from Baldwin to Sewickley in the Pittsburgh area. And I lived this life for 8 years. I thank God every day for Neil Walker and Andrew McCutchen, or this would have been my existence. It's a beautiful park, a great city to play in, just not so good a baseball team.
No, that's right. And look, you don't have to blame these guys for not knowing the rule. It's only been in place since 1854. So that was a disgrace. And that is Ryan Clark explaining his tweets. Meanwhile, RC, let's talk about another player. Let's talk about Tua. He had an up and down rookie season in Miami. And then earlier this week, he shed some light on why he struggled at times in his year one. Listen to this.
I didn't actually know the playbook necessarily really, really good. And that's on no one else's fault, you know, but my fault. Our play calls were simple when I was in, you know. I didn't have alerts and checks. Whereas now, you know, feeling more comfortable, you know, I can kind of maneuver my way, you know, through these things now.
So Ryan, I'll come back to you, because yeah, you were the one who reacted quite. What do you make of that?
What the hell? Like, for real, like, what the entire hell? And in our business, right, honesty is golden, right? Like, you want honesty. You want guys to come and bare their soul. He should have lied. I would have lied and told y'all it was something else. Because now I'm super confused. Because what do we always say about Alabama players, right? They're the most NFL ready. They understand playbooks. They can process. They can do all these things. He was supposed to have a quick trigger because he understood. Now you just had a quick trigger because you had four first rounders playing on your team. You're not going to have that in Miami. You're not going to have the best team. And when you think about Joe Burrow, you think about a guy like Justin Herbert, who finds out 10 minutes before the game that he has to start against the defending champs and Patrick Mahomes, and he flat out balls. You think about the way you have to understand football and the way you have to grasp things. So not only is your body beat up, But you ain't that smart either. If I'm Brian Flores and I'm the Miami Dolphins, this is something I do not like hearing.
Yeah, Bart, how about you?
When keeping it real goes wrong. Listen, honesty is never the best policy, especially this is going to be a scarlet letter that's going to live on his resume.
Yes.
He shows and proves that he can lead his team without somebody tagging somebody in, a veteran in, to finish football games. Yo, he has to understand that he's on deck, Claude. Last year with Sam Darnold, he's next, and the price is wrong. You know, he doesn't understand that. Listen, they have those two first-round draft picks for a reason. Just in case he's not who they thought he was, they can move away from him, and he just gave them bullets and board material. And he's going to hear this from his opponents, and he's damn sure going to hear from his fan base if he starts to struggle early.
Yeah, Dan, so quickly.
Get him a damn wristband.
What is our sense of the strength of the commitment to him from the Dolphins?
Yeah, the Dolphins are committed to Tua and building around him unless, you know, Deshaun Watson becomes a possibility again, right? Like there's a quarterback or two out there that could distract them from their commitment to Tua. But as long as those are long shots, they remain locked in on him and trying to make him better. And they think he'll take a jump this year because last year he was hurt and no offseason and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, these guys are right. That's the kind of thing that really sticks to you unless you become really good.
And that's the point.
Absolutely.
It almost feels like a make or break situation for a young quarterback who is the fifth pick in the draft in his second year. Let's leave that there for the moment. Much more as we continue. Big hour on the way of Get Up here on ESPN. Coming up, as LeBron and the Lakers return home, did they also regain that championship form? We're going inside LeBron and AD next. Get Up on ESPN.